The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Thanks for being with us. Charles Barkley is going to jump on today. He is in Boston getting ready to do the TNT game. I want to talk to him. Doc Rivers was fired earlier this morning. It's interesting. You have Doc Rivers, you have Mike Budenholzer, you have Tyronn Lue's name attached to the Suns. Which one of those coaches is the right one for the Suns moving forward, or is there another name that should be considered? We'll talk with Charles about that. He is also a grandpapa. Whenever I have Charles on, it's been 30 years of doing this. We just don't stick to basketball. So if you just want basketball, you're going to get a lot of it, but we're going to wander a little bit. His new show on CNN this fall, it's what we do. I want to talk to him about Kevin Durant, and are these two ever going to figure it out because they're living here in the same city? And much more, that'll be with Charles Barkley coming up in a few minutes. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. As always, that is Desert Financial Credit Union. They have their new debit card that is out. It is tied to Arizona State. They are now the official partner with Desert with Arizona State. So you get your debit card with Sparky on it. If you're into ASU, that is with Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate their support. Yeah, tonight is the start of the Western Conference Finals, and I'm rooting for Denver. I don't know about you. I just want to see new blood. I do. And the Joker is embraceable. He's funny. He's really damn good. And I think sports needs a little bit more levity and less, you know, less nonsense. I want what's on the court. I want what's on the court. And what I want to see in this series is I would love to see Joker get to the final. I'd love to see new teams, okay? LeBron has had his time. Anthony Davis has been there. Denver is a program with a player that's a generational talent that's out on the floor doing what he does for the Nuggets. Whether I like some of their other players or not doesn't really matter. They're good basketball players, good players. And so I'm rooting for Denver. I think in the Eastern Conference Finals, how do you not pick Boston? You know, it's been an amazing run by Miami. I'll talk with Charles about that here in a few minutes. He is in Boston with TNT to do Miami and the Celtics. So now that Doc Rivers has been fired, and that happened this morning in Philly, and Budenholzer and Tyronn Lue, and I go back, I was going to search for it earlier today. I just got tied up on some things. When the Suns eliminated the Clippers, it may have been the elimination game. I was going to go back and look, but I remember straightforward that Devin Booker went out of his way to praise Tyronn Lue. And it was like, wow, that's really over the top. And I do believe it was the last game, the closeout game. I could be wrong on that, but I know for sure there was some praise coming from T. Lue this and T. Lue that. There was a lot of it. And so that name, is it one that the players look at and say we'd like to have here in Phoenix? Is it the reclamation project or is it just DeAndre Ayton's not going to be here anymore? So everybody's trying to figure it out. Everybody's running around saying, oh, this is going to happen. That's going to just see. Fun to talk about. Let's just see. Draft lottery is tonight. The Suns will not be involved in that. I watched some of the Diamondbacks last night. And it, again, they win. They've won four in a row. They should go on a bit of a run here. Like they're in a space where they go from Oakland to Pittsburgh to Philly. And last night there was nobody. I mean, nobody. I was listening to it for a bit on the back patio, and it sounded like they didn't even need a crowd mic. And then I watched it, and literally they could have introduced the fans before the players. I used that line a bunch, but there was nobody there. And there's still a couple more games in the Bay Area for those two teams. And Merrill Kelly was really good. The story about Oakland moving to Las Vegas is out there. So the 2,000 or so that decided to go out there, it's got to be family and friends. Like, and that's probably counting the ushers and the people running the snack bar and all that stuff. And that stadium's a hole. That stadium was a dump back when I was doing Diamondbacks. Back in 99, that place was a rat hole. And they're still there. So can't imagine that there's going to be more than, I don't know. It's just take advantage of the situation. But then they go to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's gotten off to a quick start. Philly's been up and down, but they get Bryce Harper back and they come home to Boston. There could be a little bit of momentum. You know, we talk about when you get to Memorial Day, you know what kind of team you have. That's the benchmark in baseball. You use the holidays as a way to go and judge your team. Memorial Day, yeah, we got a team. 4th of July, we're still in the race. We need to add a few parts. Labor Day, we're either doing call-ups or playing everybody. That's how baseball has been forever. And you come home against Boston, and that's why you got to win some of these games against a team like Oakland. You took 3 or 4 from the Giants, and you have to win these games without having to be a Zach Gallen or Merrill Kelly start. That's important. Chafin saved a 6 last night. Dylan Raiola is in the news cycle. Charles Barkley here in a few minutes. So Dylan Raiola, the number one quarterback prospect in the nation. Dylan Raiola, so that we're really clear about this, really clear about this, crystal clear for the ineptness and the incompetence of Arizona State football from the previous regime. So I was like, what would it be now? We're in May. It's like 16 months ago. And Raiola goes to Chandler High. And I'm talking to some people at Arizona State. And they say, yeah, we're not even going to recruit him. We can't afford the NIL. And immediately I'm thinking, okay, you need to be fired right now. You are defeated. You should not be representing any university in the recruiting trail. If that is your true, honest opinion, you're not going to go after the number one prospect in the nation at quarterback, who, right, is in your own backyard. And it's been years and years and years of this nonsense over at Arizona State. It's changing now with Kenny Dillingham, but, you know, Bijan Robinson was supposed to be at ASU, and they effed that one up. I mean, there's no other way to put it. They screwed that one up so badly. So when Bijan's a top 10 pick in the NFL draft this year, I'm not going to forget how badly Arizona State screwed that up. That's why they're in this hole. So Dylan Raiola, well, we just can't afford him. Woe is us. So he goes to Chandler this last year, and some people are saying, well, you know, he's number one prospect in the nation, and Chandler's not tearing it up. And what do you think? He's like, well, it's high school. And I watch him play in person a couple of games. He threw a ball off his back foot at Castile High School on a day game after a lightning storm that was 70 yards, untouched, unfiltered, right into the receiver's hands in stride for the touchdown. It was an amazing throw. I haven't seen many guys do that. But then he leaves, and he goes to Pinnacle, who has a gritty, gutty quarterback. Kid that played really well, hard, that a lot of people in the community are rooting for. And Raiola decommits from Ohio State. Then it becomes, oh, he's going to go to Nebraska. His dad. And then he's going to go here, and he's going to go there. Well, he's on his third high school, right? Right? So in this day and age of transfer portal, just so we are crystal clear, just because a player day one says, this is where I'm going to go, and they're going to sign the dotted line, we are in free agency every day of the year. Every day of the year. Because you can decide, oh, I'm just going to put my name in the portal, peace out. I'm not going to get hurt. I'm out of here. Or you can be like Dion's situation, just run guys off. I'm going to talk to Charles about Dion and what's going on in Colorado, too, just to get his perspective. So Raiola goes to Georgia. He has his college all set up. He's going to be a Pinnacle this year. And I think a lot of fans will wander out there and want to see what the buzz is all about, as they should. It's fun to support these local high school kids. But there are other players out there. And there's going to be that, okay, we're having a great season here at the high school level, or maybe not. Maybe we want to make sure that we're 100% healthy to go to Georgia. That's how it works here in high school quarterbacking. I've seen it for 20 years. Somewhere along the way during the senior year, if they have their college picked out and done, seen it happen a bunch of times where let's take the pedal off the metal and make sure we're able to be upright when we go there. So I'll be interested to see what happens over there. Other than that, there's a story about Bronny James and USC saying the parents haven't been hovering. Like, okay, it's been the word, and it'll be interesting to watch him for a season at USC. That's going on. Very happy that Phoenix Rising is going to bring women's soccer here on a professional level. We have to. I'd like to see it be the NWSL. Having some lunch meetings next week with Rising just to get caught up. So get into them. And that's about it today. Charles Barkley is next. Stay with us. As promised, Charles Barkley is with us from Boston, getting ready for TNT. There's a lot to get to with Charles on the basketball side of things. Most importantly, he's a grandfather. So I want to start there because I haven't seen you, okay? And you have this TV show that's coming up with Gail King. You have a lot going on. If you have time, we could get into this. If you just want to talk hoops and get out, that's fine too. But the most important thing is Grandpa Charles.
You know, Brad, it's by far and away the greatest thing ever happened to me. You know, being a grandpa to little Henry is so cool. And, you know, Ernie and Clark Kellogg, two guys I really listened to a lot, told me this is going to change your life. I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm excited, blah, blah, blah. Like, no, you don't understand. It's going to be great. And it's been amazing. Little Henry is 14 months. And I tell you what, my daughter really shocked me on this last one. She named him Little Charlie after me, which totally caught me off guard. Because I you know, I kind of try to let her do her own thing. And I know they were bouncing some other names around. But when she told me, she's dad, we're going to name a little lady after me, man, it was the coolest thing ever. So to all the grandparents out there, I understand what it's like. And it's crazy and amazing.
Do you melt? You melt
when you know, it's like when you get the call that you're gonna get some time, you know, you're like, damn, is it Thursday already? It's like, yeah, you know, yeah, like you're gonna get to keep your baby Thursday. I'm like, it's just Monday, I got to wait like three more days. So, Brad, it's amazing and special, but man, it's crazy.
Good for you and your family. King Charles, tell me about that and what that is all about and how that works for you.
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to do less work, to be honest with you. So I had not planned on being on television even more.
Right.
And my boss called me and said, hey, what do you think about doing a TV show? I'm like, I'm not doing a TV show. I want to be on TV less. He said, what about a talk show? I said, no, absolutely not. Under no circumstances am I going to be doing that. And he says, what about with Gail King? I said, well, I like Gail a lot. I've known Gail for a long time. And I like her a lot. I would consider doing it with her one day a week. And really, to be honest with you, Brad, I'm just trying to be a good soldier.
Yeah.
We're in last place. I'm not even getting paid for it. It's only going to be one day a week for about 10 weeks in the fall. And it's really just going to be talking about stuff that's going on in the world today. And as you see, something crazy happens every single day in this crazy world we're in. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be interesting. I'm hoping it's fun. And it's going to be fun unless some crap happen, which you just like, you know, Brad, part of our job, man, like, you know, right now we got the money situation. We got the Doc Rivers situation.
Yeah.
We got the Ja Morant situation, like that just in my world. But can you imagine all the stuff that's going to happen? You know, we're in this situation where like every week now there's a mass shooting, which is crazy. So it's going to be interesting. And I like to say, hey, I'm just trying to be a good team player. We're in last place. Hey, it's best to take a job when your team is in last place. There's no way you can screw it up.
It's kind of like when Monty came to the Suns, right?
Yes.
You know, the thing is, though, you and I have chatted through the years on things other than sports. And so, but the things back in the day that we chatted about 30 years ago versus the things today where we're talking about social media and gun violence and trying to ban books and things that are just very divisive within society, it's just kind of how things have gone over 30 years, hasn't it? I mean, I can see.
Yeah, but that's just because the people are stupid. I mean, the people got to be smarter. They got to realize that these politicians, Democrats and Republicans, are both full of crap. And they pick very divisive issues to divide and conquer. Because really, everybody is really in the same boat, Brad, to be honest with you. We're all just trying to make a good living. We all want to be safe. We want our kids to be safe, go to great schools and things like that. But what the politicians have figured out, both parties are full of it, too. It's like, hey, let's pick a subject so we can divide and conquer. And that's probably the biggest issue we got going today. You know, and CNN, you know, they made their bed trying to be anti-Trump, being the liberal establishment. I mean, because, you know, you got those fools over at Fox. They're going to do what they do. But I always believe, hey, I feel like I'm an independent. I don't have a hidden agenda. And I think that's one of my strong suits. Like, I don't want to hear the term Republican, a Democrat, a liberal, a conservative. I'm like, no, tell me what you think. Mm-hmm. Because those words are just used to divide and conquer.
If you were moderating the Trump deal last week, how would you have gone about it? Would you ever do that?
Well, you know, I would, first of all, I would be aggressive because these politicians, when they're lying, most of these reporters are wussies. Like, they get intimidated. Like, yo, can you please explain me January the 6th? Because there's no way you can think that's cool, the right thing to do. People got killed. You can't react like that. Like, no, please tell me. I want to hear you say that was wrong, plain and simple. Don't give me the BS about good people, bad people. They were representing you. Just tell me that was 100% wrong. And if you don't tell me that, I don't really want to talk to you. Because, like I say, hey, I'm all for peaceful protests and things like that. But what happened January the 6th was a travesty and a disgrace. And it just can't happen. I mean, it can happen in a foreign country where, you know, they have coups and things like that. That's why the United States is by far and away the best place in the world. You can say whatever the hell you want to. I mean, in other countries, if you say something, you just disappear. It's like nobody says anything. I mean, it's so crazy. We're so lucky and blessed to be in the United States. You can actually say whatever the hell you want to. And, okay, that's just your opinion. But if you said some of that stuff, you try saying that over in North Korea, in some of those other foreign countries, the Sudan that's got stuff going over there right now, you'll be dead within a half an hour. But it's a certain amount of responsibility that goes with that. You have to have some common sense.
Charles Barkley with us for a couple of minutes. Again, his new show with Gayle King, that's going to be in the fall. He is a grandfather. Life is good. Now let's move over to the basketball side of things. Were you surprised that Monty Williams was let go? It's been a few days. What's your thought on what happened here in Phoenix?
Well, it was very disappointing, that last game. Because I thought the Nuggets were a better team because of the depth, and the Joker is just ridiculous. But anytime you have a Booker and KD, you feel like, okay, we got a puncher's chance.
Yeah.
I think the reason Monty got fired, like I said, I have no news and this is just me talking. I thought the last two losses looked so bad that they, you know, last year at home, really a 30-40 point loss to the Mavs, and then another really 30-40 point loss again this year. I think that's just my personal opinion. I mean, those are really bad losses, you know, especially at home. I think if you lose a tough game at home, okay. But if the last two losses in deciding games were so bad, I think that, and that's like I say, I don't have any proof of that, but that's just my personal opinion.
He gets let go. Where do you put blame, if any, on players? In this day and age, coaches are hired to be fired. That hasn't changed through the years, actually, not just in this day and age. But where do you put the blame on Kevin and Devin?
Brad, let me tell you something. I've never had this luxury. When guys are making $30, $40, $50 million, you're going to get fired as the coach. I would love to have that problem. I told somebody, I think the most money I made was like $5 million. And that's a lot of money. I don't want people out there thinking I'm an ingrate.
Right.
I said, I think the most money I made was like $5 million back in the day. Now you got guys making $30, $40 million. Hey, if you don't have success, the coach is always going to be a scapegoat. That's just the world we live in right now.
Matt Ishbia, early thoughts on how he has run the organization out here.
You know, I met him and said hello. Don't know a lot about him. I actually saw a great piece on him on 60 Minutes. I watched that show religiously. Mm-hmm. And the Suns had to do something with the Sarver situation. I wish Matt nothing but the best. But, you know, the good thing about it, the Suns are going to be relevant for the next few years. Because anytime you have Booker and KD, now they got to solve the DeAndre Ayton situation because there's clearly something going on there that's not right or not working. But as long as you have KD and Booker, like your team should be upper echelon for the next. I think we got at least two, but maybe three more years with those guys together. So now you got to find a way to figure out what you're going to do with Ayton, but also figure out the bench a little bit. So I think you know, Matt's in a good situation. They're not in a total rebuild. And so they just got to find a way to get that bench better.
Charles Barkley with us. Okay, so right now, Philly is open. Doc gets fired. Milwaukee is open. They've got Giannis. The Suns are sitting here. What's the best job that's available right now of those three, Charles?
That's a great question, Brad. I would probably say the Suns. I do, because you got to figure out the Milwaukee situation. You got Giannis, but you got to figure out, you got a bunch of free agents. I don't know how, you know, I think I saw something. The Warriors are going to play like $500 million in luxury taxes. And I know with Middleton and Drew Holiday and Lopez as a free agent, I don't know if Milwaukee, a small market team, can stomach paying $300 or $400 million in luxury taxes. But like I said, you got Katie and Book for the next 3 years, I think, at least. To me, the Suns are probably the most the best job.
In Philly's case, James Harden doesn't want to be there. James Harden always feels like he doesn't want to be someplace. Now his
He's like the runaway bride. He's never like, yeah, I tried it, but I'm out of here. And you know what's interesting? I don't understand. Like, I've been sitting back watching, listening to all the crap that's been going on all season.
Yeah,
I don't understand why the Rockets would want him. Like, you got a bunch of young guys, and he says he wants to go. The rumor is he want to go back to Houston. I'm like, why would Houston do that? Pay an aging star to go with all those young kids. I have zero idea what that means. I think for James, probably being in Philly might be his best scenario, because you got an MVP candidate in Joel. Maxie's coming along. You got Tobias Harris. So it's going to be very interesting what happens with that whole Harden situation.
Okay, so the coach then for the Suns, the one that makes the most sense to you, or names that make the most, this Tyronn Lue. Devin and Kevin both praised him during the Clippers series, which I thought was interesting, just in their comments about how well-structured the Clippers were. His name is attached out here, obviously. And then you're Budenholzer, and now Doc is available. Is there a name that you look at, or a couple that are like, you know what, that's the right guy to get Kevin, Devin, maybe Ayton as part of the deal, that you got to get DeAndre figured out, or you can't bust the number one overall pick? Is there a name or two, Charles?
You know, the Tyronn Lue situation is interesting. I'm not sure he would leave L.A. and come to Phoenix. He's a very good coach. I don't understand him leaving one, because – they probably going to compensate the Clippers in some capacity. I don't even think the Suns got in the draft pick for the next few years.
Right.
So I don't know how that would work. They're not going to just give up Tyronn to a rival and give him compensation, which they don't even have. So it's going to be very interesting the next, you know, because like I say, all three jobs are good jobs.
If Brooklyn you know, it's interesting, Charles, if Brooklyn had decided after an 18-2 start, we don't need to trade Kyrie and Durant, and if they had just sat tight, we would be having a completely different conversation, I think.
Of course, but man, hey, listen, these players have so much power now. They make so much money. When a guy ain't happy, he's got, hey, I don't want to be here. You saw it with James in Houston. Mm-hmm. You saw it with James in Brooklyn. You saw Ben Simmons in Philadelphia. I mean, the players have all that money and all that power now. So it's kind of like college, where you got the transfer portal and NIL. It's the wild, wild west out here right now. You know, I hate the transfer portal in college and NIL, because, you know, kids are going to start just going to the highest bidder now. I think it's going to have a really negative effect on college sports going forward. Like, I want the kids all to be compensated and do the right thing. But the one thing I figured out in my 60 years, there's no fair when it comes to money, Brad. Money, it brings out people's true colors. And it's going to really have a negative effect on college sports going forward. And also, I think it's had a huge negative effect on the NBA, because guys have got so much money. Bless them first for making money. But they have so much power now. And you asked me earlier, never. Or do they blame the players? Never, ever. I let that question skip. Like, when do we ever blame the players? We never blame the players. We always end up screwing the coach and making him the scapegoat.
It's kind of like Deion getting all this heat in Colorado because 71 of 84 guys, he said, you need to go. And people are out.
Well, hey, listen, you don't, when you win one game, you don't really have a lot of power. I mean, because I'm pretty sure you didn't play 12 or 13 really good teams, but you only won one game. That tells me, like, you're not very good. But, you know, I'm a big Deion fan. I think he's going to do great. But I don't – listen, if you only win one game, there's something wrong with your mentality. Because, like I say, you're not playing every team. It's not that good. And a lot of guys don't know what it takes to be successful, Brad. It's really hard to be successful, and especially when you have less talent. Because no disrespect to Colorado, they're not getting McDonald's All-Americans. They're not getting four stars like Alabama, Georgia, Texas, USC, and guys like that. That's why you really have to coach guys like that up.
Two other things that get you out of here. And Kevin Durant, what's going on with you two? Is it just a him problem? I mean, you don't have...
No, it's definitely a him problem. You know, Brad, I got to tell you something. Out of all the things I've ever said about a player, saying one was sensitive is probably the least thing I've ever said about any player I've ever said anything about.
Right.
He's a great player. He's a great kid, I think. And I can't believe why he overreacts. Like, yeah, he is sensitive. I don't even think that's a negative. But you know what? I think he's a great player. And I want him to win. I would love to see the Suns win, win, be more successful, get to the finals and win the whole thing. But, hey, I'm going to do my job no matter what. That's one thing I've been really fair about and honest with all these 23 years. I've never had a hidden agenda or personal on anybody.
Well, you two are in the same city, so it would be nice to see the two of you sit and break bread and figure it out.
Hey, anytime you want to sit down, like I say, I'd rather play golf with CP3 and Devin Booker, and he can come caddy for me. How about that? Listen, I'm gonna smoke cigars and drink. So how about if he can come drive, because I want to get CP3 and Booker out on the course. I would love for Katie to be my designated driver on the golf course. We can have some fun.
The last time I saw that was at Quintero, and you had Jeremy Roenick, I think, was your DD.
Yeah. Jeremy's a good friend of mine. Brad, I'm playing really good golf right now. So
Are you?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not. So if we want to
– Hey, listen, man, don't worry about playing good golf. As long as you're out there having a good time, you're drinking some beer, smoking some cigars, which I always do.
Yes.
First of all, the best thing about it, you're not in the office. So that's the best thing about it.
I'm not afraid to go out with you. You know, I know you've mentioned it to me when we're under the tunnel at the Suns deal, like we should go play, but I don't want to take apart Quintero's course. It's too nice, you know.
Hey, listen.
I dig shallow graves, so let me get you out of here on this. Let me get out of here. I know your time. Boston, Miami, you were in Boston. You've been nice enough to give me some time today. The view of the series for the fans.
I think Boston is the heavy favorite, to be honest with you. I do. I think Boston is the heavy favorite. You know, Jimmy Butler is terrific. Bam Adebayo is terrific. I think the Tyler Hero injury is going to be huge. Mm-hmm. But even if they had Tyler Hero, I had Boston and Milwaukee as my two favorites in the East going in. You know, the Giannis injury threw a monkey wrench into the whole plans for the Bucks, missing a couple games. But I haven't seen anybody I think can beat the Celtics. I will tell you this. The world champion would be the Denver Nuggets. I think they've never gotten the respect they deserved. I told somebody a month ago, I said, the Denver Nuggets are going to win the West. And I think they're going to win the world championship. I'll be disappointed. I'll be surprised if they don't win the whole thing. They got a terrific team. As you saw last series, man, what a privilege and a pleasure it is to watch the Joker play basketball. It is, you know, it's a beautiful thing. And I think it's great for the league because, You know, Brad, one thing that really has screwed up the NBA, we get so enamored with guys who can really, really run, really, really jump.
Yeah.
You know, they do 360 dunks and they block shots and slap it up to the sixth row in the stands like that really matters. And then you get a kid like the Joker who just out there can't jump over a jelly glazed donut, you know, can't run faster than anybody, but just great. And it's just awesome to watch.
Well, and on top of that, Charles, just being around him in that last series at practice and that, he's got a great personality. He just has fun. The thing with Ishbia handing him the ball, maybe a little thing to some people. To me, it's just like the league needs more of that. This world is fun out here, guys.
Him walking up to Ishbia and handing him that ball was one of the coolest things. I said, yo, man, if you don't like this kid, there's something wrong with you. That was Joker at his finest. Like, yo, man, I didn't know who you were. I'm pretty sure Joker didn't know who he was when that first happened. But him to walk up to him, give him a hug and a pat, that was – our league is in great hands with a great player like that.
And the league is in great hands having you behind a microphone still with the guys at TNT. I'll let you go off that. Appreciate the time. Safe travel. See you down the road.
Anytime, my brother. Thanks for having me.
There's Charles Barkley with us, and we're back with more after this timeout.